JoeBucksFan.com presents Fozzy, the sports junkie.
You're into that.
Insight and insanity.
You silly man, hope I never get back in there. I will kick your
all from the mind of Ozzy the sports junkie.
Let's get this party started. How you feeling?
My advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
This is how it goes, Al, and you're listening to Ozzy the Sports Junkie right here on JoeBucksFan.com.
What is up? Where do you hurt? Ozzy the Sports Junkie back for a Christmas edition, a holiday, if you will, for the Joe Bucks Fan Podcast. After the Bucks came crashing back down to earth on Sunday, figured I'd just blacken it out all into a big holiday blur, but had to deal with it eventually. Well, four-game winning streak. Sure, I'll take it. I'll take all the positives that come out of it. I had Jameis Winston turn the corner when last we spoke. Had him in some FanDuel lineups, for Christ's sakes. Well, I guess you can blame it all on me, Buck fans. If you're looking for a scapegoat, it's Ozzy the Sports Junkie, because I put my blessing behind him. I thought 900 yards in two games, eight touchdowns and only three picks. Maybe this guy can get it done. And maybe the lack of a running game. This guy has some kind of running game and doesn't have to lob the ball up 50 times a game. I mean, Arians is no idiot. You don't have to be Pop Warner, Don Coryell, or any combination of the two with a little Lombardi thrown in to know passing every down is nothing but trouble. And with a quarterback who, well, has issues with accuracy, timing, decision-making, well, it's a recipe for disaster. And we saw it on full display at Ray J last Sunday. Literally, I missed the kickoff of the game. Within 5 seconds, 6-0 Houston, I said, well, somebody took one back to the house, and I'm already mid-argument. Texts are coming in out of control. Three or four online arguments going on with different people. Well, the quarterback situation and other things. And as soon as I walk through the door, there's number two. Pick six to the house. Cannot be happening. I heard a moan, a chair thrown against the wall as the lovely Mrs. Ozzy showed her disgust by airing out a chair through the wall. Drywall repair being done as we speak. So I blame the jinx on me. I don't know. I'm really kind of perplexed. I don't see how you could just stick your head in the sand and pretend that you finish the string out on Sunday and this thing is just going to make itself better. Another offseason working with Arians out here, and I read, well, sure, that's all in fine and dandy. I think they have two offseason workouts, a couple mandatory mini camps. It's not like he's going to be up there in Alabama grinding 8 hours daily with Bucko Bruce. What you see is what you get with number three. They could try to curtail it a little bit by giving him some kind of running game, and that, none of the blame on that goes on Winston. All you heard going into last season was the shakeup of the offensive line, which, sure, you got a little bit, one player basically, and they need to address the running game. I never bought into the fact that Peyton Barber was going to be a feature back, and he's not. It's pretty cut and dry. They need to go out and spend some money. Unless somebody really blows your socks off in the draft. I mean, there's so many questions now regarding what do you do about a running back? Can you go out and get a Kenyon Drake who's going to be the cream of the crop in the free agency? Maybe you look at David Johnson, another former Cardinal. But I even mentioned it preseason. Are they torpedoing this quarterback to have a horrible season? They did nothing but to address the running game. Just assuming that Rojo Jones is going to come alive. Did he? Well, we saw his first 40-plus yard carry in week 15. He looked good leading into it, but just still hasn't cracked the 100-yard game. Peyton Barber now number two. I'd keep both guys and add a starter. That would address the running game, and who knows what exponentially that would do to number three. But to stick your head in the sand and think that, well, 2020's here and, you know, he learned his lesson. That's the thing. The defense was getting smoked like a salmon earlier in the season. I see progression out of the deep pass secondary. I don't see a lot of progression from the quarterback. He had the 900-yard stretch in back-to-back games with 8 touchdowns. Impressive. Impressive as you'll ever see and as we've ever seen as Buck fans, but you can't ignore the negative. And to pretend that it's not a huge problem. Bruce Arians, again, he must be a hell of a card player because I wouldn't want to sit across the table from him. He's a hard guy to read. We saw the story that came out last Sunday. Our own Lee from Joe Bucks Fan, first at the docket to ask Coach Arians. He shot it right down. No decision's been made. Do I believe that? I'd like to. I'd like to think that they'd base their thoughts on a complete package of a season. There's no way that Winston goes out there Sunday and shits all over the field like he did last week, and that doesn't come into the decision-making, not only the coaching staff, the owners. Where I'm sitting, that stadium's half empty, if not three-quarters empty. You just don't know what you're going to get next year. To naturally assume this guy's progressing, is he progressing? Is he a better quarterback now than this season started? You know, if you weren't at the stadium, and most people weren't, to watch that game on national TV, I mean, the announcers are pretty much aghast. They're taken aback at what the hell's happening down here. Now you see it. I had it on Twitter. You can follow me at Aussie Radio. There's lines in Vegas, people. Prop bets on how many picks he throws. Does he throw a pick on the first drive? Does he throw a pick on the second drive? I mean, that's laughing at us, not with us. So I'm all about whatever makes this team better. And I can't say right now that at the quarterback position we're better. Offensively, the line's playing better. You can sit there and bash that line all you want. Somebody was protecting him in order to rack up 900 yards in 2 weeks, people. Easy on that, Chaway. And lo and behold, there's 3 top-end receivers on this team. Maybe Perryman was a first-round pick by Cleveland. An embarrassment at Riches at wide receiver, not last week, although Perryman did a pretty good job. They pulled guys out of the dumpster. I mean, you couldn't have went to Goodwill and found Hyman Roth was out there at wide receiver. Who are these people? I hate to say it because, you know, being a Bucks fan on Joe Bucks Fan, I hate when the season ends. I'm a depressed, miserable guy when that season ends. I'm going to be relieved next Sunday when that gun goes off, and let's hope it's not in my mouth. Do they even fire a gun anymore? I don't think they do. That has been done away with years ago, but you get the reference. I got to have a break from the nonsense, the madness, the brainwashing that what we're seeing is not what we're seeing. Can't help but think, but a quarterback who protects the ball better and a little bit of a running game, and we're talking about a postseason berth. And did you catch Jameis postgame? He was asked, what do you make about the inordinate number of turnovers at home and the inability to win at home? And I thought he tipped his hand a little when he said, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I think he was talking about more than just interceptions and wins at home. The kid's got a heart the size of, you know, the team bus. He gives it all. He lays it all out there. You'll never hear me complain about his effort or his attitude. Sometimes results don't meet the expectations of a number one pick. What happens? Well, I'd say more than not. As coach, GM, ownership, you've got to recognize that and move on. You cannot, if we're having this conversation next year, then they made a wrong move. We were having this conversation last year, and here we are. And don't give me these inflated stats into the top 5 offense in history, because you'll be talking to yourself saying that. I said earlier in the season, nobody fears this offense. That has changed. I think teams do. Evans, Godwin, now Perryman coming to town, O.J. Howard and Brate, if they can ever get on the track and get things moving. Yeah, this is an offense that can be scary, and it's a young offense. But the clock's ticking. In an NFL where you can turn it around in a year, I think you get a quarterback back there to protect the ball, manage the game a little, hand off, don't turn the ball over 3 times a week. And we're talking about playoffs. And I have to question the steadfast supporters of the quarterback or the steadfast doubters of Winston. Are you in it to win the argument or are you in it to win ball games? I don't give a shit who the hell in the victory lane. And for last week, I said it was Winston. The people's temple, you win. But I said, be careful because the celebration won't be as long as the argument. Little did I know it would be about 24 hours. But look, if he comes out and throws 5 touchdowns on Sunday, they sign him to a 3-year deal. I can't see any more than 3 years. corners you're eating. He wants more than that. I don't any way that they commit for 5 years. Let's face it, a 5-11 season next year, then we're talking about firing the coach, and this whole shit show revolves around one more time. I don't have time for that. I think there's pieces there now. You can win next year a good three steps back. Coaches, owners, and even fans, let's recognize what we can work with and what we can't. And drop your ego, drop your argument. You got to realize what the hell's best for us as Buccaneer fans. Not Florida State alums. Not guys looking to win an argument between their buddies at the corner bar. How about this? How about we win next year and we all fight and pull in this in one direction? Because I can honestly say in my 50 years of sports following, I've never seen a more polarizing or pivotal flashpoint than this quarterback on this team. And it's not like we're the 27 Yankees looking to get this train on the tracks moving forward. And we had a four-game win streak, but I've never seen four-game win streaks end with such a slam. The second pick six was almost jaw-dropping. Now, granted, it came back. 28 picks. He'll probably hit 30. I mean, if I'm a betting man, and I am, I'd say he goes 30. Most interceptions in the NFL in, almost a decade. And to say it's not a topic of ridicule around the league, you're kidding yourself, man. You're kidding yourself. That being said, you want to laugh. Look at the free agent list of NFL quarterbacks available in 2020. Or to borrow from an old joke, it kind of resembles the lunch line at Alcatraz. Can I interest anyone in the McCown brothers? They're both available. How about pencil neck geek Mike Glennon? You got to wonder. Glennon had a good throw in him every two or three times a game. How many wins would Mike Glennon have on this team this year? How many wins would Ryan Fitzpatrick have? Laugh your ass off. I doubt he'd have 28 picks. Continuing down that shit list. Case Keenum, if you need him. Did have the Vikings a game away from the Super Bowl, as I recall. Didn't work out in Denver. Didn't work out in Washington. So you see, some teams realize it's not working and immediately look the other direction. Joe Webb's available if anybody needs him. Blake Bortles. How about this one? How about we settle the Jameis Mariota debate on the field? Bring in Mariota as a backup. Best man wins. Last man has to leave football, banished forever. Did I mention Joe Webb? Dear God. All right. I need some sanity and some buoy in these turbulent bucket waters because what's up is now down. And, let's look at the positives. The defense played well on Sunday. The offensive line played well against a very beatable Houston team. I don't know what was wrong with Deshaun Watson, but we had the better Watson in our third or fourth string receiver out there. I liked Hyman Roth. I think he came out of Miami. I'm not certain, but he looked good at receiver. At any rate, as I look for some stability in this crazy, turbulent world, who else would I turn to? A man who asked Bruce Arians, can you win in this league with a subpar rushing attack? And he was vehemently scolded by saying, we don't have a subpar rushing attack. So week 16 to pop out a 40-plus yarder, still didn't hit 100 yards. On Sunday, as Atlanta comes calling, who knows what they're going to look like. Somebody's got to bring me back down to earth. And who else? The insider, the guru, Leo Haggerty. He was there on Sunday. He's got to have some feelings. And we'll touch base with Leo. And we'll touch base with Leo after a quick note from the Parrot Sports Bar and Grill. The Parrot at Weber and Benevent, Sarasota. Looking for a place for all your Buccaneer, all your bowl games, all your postseason football, and now hockey's up and running, obviously. I tend to get a little more knee-deep into hockey. Your headquarters for postseason football and anything, sports, and you'll have some Ozzie the Sports Junkie down there. Postseason football. Weber Beneva, across the street, oddly enough, from the Ozzie the Sports Junkie studios of the Sports Junkie Radio Network. Anyways, Leo Haggerty joins me on the other side of this for some breakdown, some psychoanalysis, and, maybe a good hard cry on Ozzie the Sports Junkie, only on JoeBucksFan.com. All right, back on the Joe Bucks Fan podcast. I've had him all season long, my insider, my man on the scene, besides the Joe Bucks Fan army of reporters. He is Leo Haggerty from It Sports Magazine. Leo, first off, happy holidays, my friend, and hope you got everything you wanted from Santa, short of a Bucks victory last Sunday.
Yeah, well, you know what, Oz, I wasn't expecting one, so, it was a good holiday, and, you know, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and yours as well, and, Oz, let's be honest, if I told you 7-8 after week 16, the beginning of season, you'd have bought it, wouldn't you?
I'd have bought it. I mean, especially since this team, at one point it was 2-5, I think, 1-4. I mean, they were headed nowhere. So we get a 4-game winning streak. The last 2 weeks prior to Sunday, 900 yards and 8 touchdowns, and I think only 3 picks. I turned the corner. I thought, well, maybe, just maybe, I've been a little hasty on this Winston character. And then he goes out literally about 12 hours after that came out of my mouth. And he proved me, I've spun back the other direction in a complete 180, Leo. But I'll say this, he hasn't had any running game all season long. I don't know why, as Buck fans, I know a lot of people have been crying about it, but I really hadn't hearkened the bells, if you will, about the lack of a running game. It's on Winston's shoulder. I said it in the preseason, why they didn't address the right side of the offensive line and why they didn't address the running game. It almost feels like they torpedoed this kid to give you. You gave me a number, Leo, opening week of 25, and that's 25 in pass attempts by Winston. Any more than that, they're in trouble. Well, there he's looking at about 50 per game, Leo. So I don't know. What do you do from here? Can it be salvaged? What's your take on the whole thing?
Oh, I think it can be salvaged. And again, here's the problem. Is a lot of these are what I call team interceptions. And let's go back to the first one and the last one. The first one, which was a pick six, may have been the worst out route I've ever seen run in the NFL.
Right, but you got to put zip on that ball. You know, that's the first thing they look at in the scouting combine is the throws to the sideline. You got to put a laser in there. You or I, well, maybe you or I couldn't pick it off, but anybody coming out of high school football, that's a gimme, man. That's a sack fly that you just, a can of corn you take to the house. He's got to put some zip on that ball, though, but
I'll give you that.
I'll give you that one. I'll definitely give you that one. Hell, I gave you the one against the prior week. I was defending Jameis because the two receivers in question ran into each other. I think it was.
And you know what? The last one was just as bad.
Right.
Because all they had to do was get a yard, and he rounds it up to 5. And again, these guys, they were calling for fair catches. It wasn't like the quarterback wasn't throwing it in there. He's throwing it for the guy to run it out. At 8 yards, and he ends up at 13. All the corner didn't even have to jump it. The receiver came right to him, and I'm going, hey, this is manna from heaven. But again, people got to understand, all right, what do you got with Jameis Winston? Okay? You got 30 plus touchdown passes. You
right.
also got, you know, close to 30 interceptions. And again, if they're not pick sixes, you may be able to live with that. And that's the whole thing. It's funny because I leaned to Ira Kaufman before the game started. I said, first pass should be 60 yards down the field, right down the middle, let the safety catch it, and then boom, we'll just make a tackle from there.
Right, but I mean, yeah, you might be able to live with the three picks a game is an awful big nugget to get to overcome, Leo. I mean, you're digging yourself quite a hole when you turnovers and penalties, isn't that written on the holiest of holy tablets of the NFL? Turnovers and penalties cost you ball games. And he consistently turns it over. My question is this. Is he learning anything from this? You know, the defense played horrible. The pass defense played horrible earlier in the season. Those guys aren't getting burned anymore. They learned from their mistakes. I see the same mistakes every Sunday from number 3. And the if it's one thing that you put up with a rookie quarterback. First off, he's far from a rookie in year 5. And is he learning anything? Because it seems to me it's a broken record. And I'll tell you what. Part one of the question there. Part two is a comment. The NFL Network commentators, you can tell these guys hadn't seen some Bucks football in a while. They were aghast. I'll just put it that way. And
well, they couldn't even get the name right, Oz?
I mean, it was terrible. I got a newsflash for you. I don't think they're laughing with us and in the Vegas sports books and around the NFL as the prop bets all over Vegas this week of how many picks. First drive picks, how many points the other way? I mean, it's not a problem. It's an embarrassment. What makes me believe as a Bucks fan off season of working with Bruce Arians, you know as well as I do, Leo, they don't go home together. He goes to Alabama. Bruce goes to wherever he goes. They get together twice this summer for minicamp. They're not grinding out eight-hour days, hammering out these problems. So, I don't know. It's awful frustrating. I'll put it that way.
Oh, sure. And you know, it's like I said on New Orleans ESPN radio, you get the good Jameis or the bad Jameis. Which one are you going to get? And can you live with the bad Jameis? Yeah, what you can't live with is the awful Jameis.
Yeah, and he's just that,
the
awful
Leo. Jameis is when he throws, you know, 2, 3, 4 interceptions and doesn't, you know, add on to that with touchdown passes.
The gaudy numbers, you know, you can save all that. I kind of equate it to a whack quarterback out west somewhere putting up 15,000 yards and still never even making a decent bowl game or in the top 20. Those numbers are, to me, they're very inflated because they're generally down by 2 or 3 scores. I'm not saying that's all his fault. The defense played terrible, as I mentioned, but they've learned that they've seemed to pick their game up a little bit, and I thought Winston had as well. I mean, I had him going, maybe I'm the jinx, Leo. I had him going in a couple FanDuel lineups. I'm like, Jesus, if this kid's just racking it up, I might as well try to profit from it. First pass to the house, second pass to the house. I almost shit and fell back in it. Now, the second one came back due to a penalty, but I mean, I expected a little bit of a fallback. I didn't expect him to fall off the cliff into the abyss. That being said, it was 20-20 at the half. They're lucky they played a Houston team that had their head up their ass.
I think there was some sickness on the Texans because they just seemed lethargic. And Deshaun Watson either got hurt or just wasn't himself because you could see he was just not getting – there was no energy.
No, it wasn't. I heard a great line saying
– afterwards in the locker room, he was just kind of sitting there alone for a while with a towel around him, and I'm going, man, this guy may not be – yeah, he may not have been healthy for this one. And you know what? I wasn't surprised with the outcome of the game. Again, you go into this game without your number one or your number two targets.
Sure.
let's be honest. Cameron Brake makes that catch. We're probably not even having this conversation, are we?
Right. Or if Jameis hits those two wide-open touchdowns, Perryman had a man beat, and one of those scrubs they signed off, I think it was – Hiram Roth or whatever his name was. Yeah. I don't know where they got these characters from. The one dude made a nice like 40-yard catch at the 2-yard line. Apparently he hadn't played in 11 years. I don't know where they – I didn't know Goodwill had a roster of players, but they managed to pull him out of there. And, well, they were in the ball game to the end, and I said, I mean, you could set your watch by it. I said, they're going to set up a game-winning drive, and Jameis is going to throw another one, and boom, there it was.
And after Houston took the lead, I said, hey, don't be surprised if they don't try a 70-yard field goal to tie this game.
Yeah.
I really think if they would have, you know, gotten the point of the other 40-yard line, their own 40, they'd have probably tried that. I mean, just let the kid take a shot at it.
Well,
he could probably,
you know,
make it from 68.
As tired as I am of beating this topic into the dirt, so we'll get off of the quarterback situation. Matt Gay got his bell rung on the sidelines. Nobody. He got hit in a run back and banged his head against the turf, but he got right back up, and he made a couple 50-yarders that game. You can say one thing about the Buccaneers, their kick situation looks solid moving forward, and that's been a gigantic problem. Obviously, that's not as big as an issue as your quarterback, but we'll take little victories where we can get them. Receivers they had out there, how about Perryman? Here's a guy I myself called for cutting him. They could have got a fifth-round compensatory draft pick. Boy, do I look like an idiot, but I'm happy to do so. We got 3 top receivers now. An embarrassment of riches.
And you know what, Oz? The problem is it takes a while to get used to what the offensive coordinator, the head coach, wants, expects, and demands. And it's not like you're just walking in. And I'll tell you what, I'm gonna give you this question I asked Arians. It was the last question, the press conference. I said, you know, it looks like Jameis doesn't manipulate the safety with his eyes that he locks on right away. And Arians goes, no, just the opposite. He just manipulates too much, and he misses receivers or gets to them late. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I'm seeing that. And, you know, that's fine. If that's what's happening, that's correctable. But, again, I go back to the Indianapolis game, and Leonard, the linebacker, wherever wasn't supposed to be, and made two picks.
You're absolutely right. Leo Haggerty joins me, my Buccaneer insider from itsportsmagazine.com.
Well, you know what, Oz, ask me the $64 question, which is whether we should keep this guy or not.
Here we go. The Buccaneers pick up a one-year option, and that's a whole ball of wax, too. Now I'm reading Jameis wants more money. He won't settle for anything short of a 5-year deal. He's high. There's no way there's committing 5 years to this guy. He'd be lucky to get three. They can franchise tag him for one, but they got a long laundry list of things they got to fill. They've got to get a running back, and they need to get a top-end running back. They should probably bolster the line a little. I mean, you can never not have enough, especially a left tackle where you can move Smith over to the right side. That'd be a decent line right there. And how about all the naysayers who are crucifying this offensive line? They must have been doing something, because not only did they get a nice report card out of Sunday's game, they helped Jameis and company go 900 yards in 2 weeks. Somebody had to be doing something. So, you know, everybody wants to place blame on anybody but the guy who's throwing the picks. What is the answer to that question? Do they 1 year? And even if they do 1 year, you've got to bring in another guy. Do they bring Blaine Gabbert back for a backup? Because injury, anything could happen. And Winston's down, and then what do we do?
Well, you know what, Oz? And here's the problem, and I'm going to put this out to you. If Jameis's agent wants to play real hardball, he can walk into the office and say, okay, fine, you can franchise or transition him, but he doesn't have to show up until week six. And my client will not show up until week six.
Boy.
Now, right, oh boy.
You're right, he can.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the first step. So he's basically forcing the Bucs' hands, either cut me or sign me. Now, again, I would try to come up with a 3-year deal with a 4th-year option. And again, I hear people on the radio or the television calling in and say, we got to get rid of Jameis. And they said, who are you going to take? And they said, anybody. Well, you know what? I haven't seen a guy by the name of anybody playing in the NFL. So let's talk about anybody. There's two guys that I think the Bucs would really need to look at if they become available.
All right, lay it on me.
If Cam Newton becomes available and is healthy, you got to look at him.
Absolutely. You know, I get laughed at when I bring that up, but I have to look back. The last 2 years, I mentioned two guys. 2 years ago, I said Teddy Bridgewater. I was told, no, yeah, you're out of your mind. No leg left. You remember, he almost lost his leg in Minnesota. And this year, I said, what would be wrong with bringing in Ryan Tannehill just as a backup? And look what he's done with Tennessee. He's going to get a huge contract. What would be wrong with bringing in? You don't need Cam Newton to be 100% of Superman, and you only need him for a year or two to groom a draft pick to get this team rolling.
Let me throw a better option out to you.
All right.
Okay? If the Patriots do not go to the Super Bowl, I would not be surprised if Tom Brady is let go. Now.
Well, you're way out on the limb now. What, are you still hitting the eggnog, Leo?
Oh, hold on now. Oh, yeah. I think that Belichick will say it's time to move on. He's 42, 43 years old next year, and he's getting up in age. So they let him go. What would look better on a resume for Tom Brady to be the GOAT, to be that guy, than to come into Tampa Bay and in the year or two he's here to end up bringing this team to the playoffs and maybe to the Super Bowl.
Boy, you couldn't get Doug Fernandez out of that locker room with a spatula. He'd be following him around, picking up his jock.
Right. He'd be a fly on that wall.
Well, you know, let's face it. Brett Favre had a little victory reunion tour, if you will, a bit of an encore call. He was a pass away from the Super Bowl with the Vikings. So, and he was a push at 40 years old, so it's not out of the extraordinary. What do you think about David Carr out in Oakland? You might be able to swing a deal for him. I'm just looking for a 2-year stopgap so we can groom a young quarterback.
Well, again, I don't know if that's that guy. I think Cam Newton's got probably 3 or 4 years in him.
Absolutely.
They get him here.
I don't understand how everyone's an expert on Cam Newton. You know, he's hurt. I got a newsflash for you. Jameis has been getting his ass handed to him for 5 years. You don't think he's got aches and pains?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And again, in that Houston game, he got banged up a little bit too. So,
absolutely. I mean, he's dealing with all kinds. He's got a broken finger. And, you know, he's been sacked a hell of a lot. He's been banged around all season. I'll tell you what, whoever the hell the coach is on teaching him how to scramble, I mean, he looks like an antelope on Wild Kingdom, and it just took a tranquilizer dart, Leo. I mean, he does. He runs straight up and down.
I dare you to find
another position on the team that Jameis Winston could play. Generally, a quarterback could maybe double as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's about the most unathletic guy, but that has nothing to do with his the topic at hand. I don't mean to just bash the kid over the head. And like I said, I was complimentary. I thought maybe, just maybe, we could turn the corner. And, well, it's probably a better chance than not that he is coming back. But I'll pose the $120,000 question, Leo. What am I to believe going into next year if I'm a season ticket holder, if I'm an advertiser, if I'm anybody interested in Buccaneer football, that you're not going to be sitting here on September what or December whatever 2020 talking about what do we do now? What do we do with the quarterback who just threw another 30 and we're 5-11?
You know what, Oz? I'm going to give you my son's explanation to all of that. And he goes, "What's going to make you think that last year's crap is going to be better this year?"
Right.
And you know what? I don't see him getting that much better. But he doesn't have to get that much better. If he cuts his interceptions in half, let's say he gets it down to 14 or 15.
Right.
That's livable.
Which would come with a running game. If he had a bell cow he could hand the ball off to instead of every single play dropping back and lobbing it up for all to grab. I mean, it's never become so evident that the running back position there, and I'd keep the two guys. I would keep Barber and I'd keep Rojo, but I'd bring in a Kenyon Drake. I'd look at David Johnson maybe and whoever else is out there. I don't know if you've done this, Leo. Take a look at the free agent quarterback list. Now, it does have a Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Those are just situational deals that they have to re-sign. But you talk about, to borrow a phrase from our good buddy Donnie Gershio, it looks like the lunch line at Alcatraz. I mean, two of them are former Buccaneers. We've got Blaine Gabbert. Both McCown brothers made a stop. We got pencil neck geek Mike Glennon. I mean, it's the ugliest list I've ever seen. There's nobody there who's going to help us out, I don't think. Case Keenum interests anybody?
No, there's nobody there. Again, Teddy Bridgewater ain't budging out of New Orleans.
No way.
They'll find a way to keep him.
Absolutely. He stays locked and loaded there. He's their next quarterback.
Yeah, he's quarterback in waiting, and they just got to figure out how long the Drew Brees.
All right, then how do they – how about this question, Leo? So Jameis gets a one-year franchise deal. They're obviously going to draft a quarterback. Do you think they spend a first-round pick? I don't think that would be their first-round pick then on a quarterback.
No.
Unless there's somebody there they just can't resist.
Yeah. You look at the ones coming out and just I don't see. Again, you've got the big, what I call the Trubisky quotient. I mean, a guy at LSU – okay, whether you want to call him the Heisman Trophy winner or not, it's a one-year wonder.
Sure.
And again, Mitchell Trubisky was a one-year wonder on a team that didn't win. Now, Burrow, I'll tell you what, we're going to see what he can do against either a Clemson or Ohio State. And if he plays Clemson, Clemson has a propensity. There's the SAT word of the day, my friend.
Nice.
They have a propensity of making quarterbacks look really bad. And again, let's go back to the last national championship game. You know, and here's the thing. Tua is going to be there when the Bucs draft.
Ooh, I don't know, though. He's got – catastrophic injury.
I don't know either. You know,
does he show up in a wheelchair if they roll him out on the stage?
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you look at the passes he completes, they're basically one-yard tosses or 50-yard tosses that they run under. You ain't going to get those in the NFL.
Right.
So, and again, I said he's a little bit of a China doll. When he gets hit, he gets broke.
Let me throw a couple of questions at you, Leo, quickly. If Ryan Fitzpatrick, this is stupid, but it just hit me on Saturday or last Sunday when I'm watching the Dolphins. If Ryan Fitzpatrick was quarterbacking this Bucs team this year, do you see any difference in the record whatsoever?
Probably not. And again, but just...
And I'm not banging the drum for Fitzpatrick. He's done. I mean, no, he's 40 years old himself.
They may be 8-7, maybe. But again, if you look at the games they lost, all right, if they win the toss out in Seattle, they probably win that game. If the guy makes the field goal against the Giants, they win that game.
Yeah.
And again, that was right. The Seattle game was right at the end of that just abysmal tour that they had to make for 6 weeks. I mean, they went from September 22nd to November 10th without a home game. I mean, that shame on the NFL. And again, the Oakland Raiders almost had the same thing happen to them. You know, shame on the NFL. I mean, just to even think that was a good thing. You know, let's ask Doug Fernandes this. Would they have done that to the Patriots? Not, no, heck no. It wouldn't have happened. And that's the problem. You know, they had a schedule that basically eliminated them from the playoffs. Just because, and think about this now, they beat the Rams at the beginning of that. So, you know, and they lost the other ones and were in every game. But the problem was, I mean, you probably had enough frequent flyer miles to take a vacation to Hawaii and back after that one.
Absolutely. Leo Haggerty, It Sports Magazine, joins me. Yeah, Doug Fernandes is on a one-week ban from the Aussie household. Too much Patriot talk. I said, I don't mind comparing my quarterback or my team, but I'm not going to compare. That's like comparing every baseball player to Babe Ruth. I said, no, I can't take another Brady Winston comparison. I mean, give me something else. How about Grogan? How about Steve Grogan? How about Tony Eason?
Let me give you a comparison right now. And again, I'll give you a freebie. If number 16 in orange is standing, Clemson wins the national championship. Okay?
There you go.
If number 8 in purple and black is standing in Baltimore, there's not a team in the NFL that are going to beat the Ravens.
Wow.
Because you can't prepare for that. There's no way you can prepare for what he's going to do.
He is the fastest. You see Michael Vick, and you've seen some fast quarterbacks. I mean, I would go so far as to say he's the fastest player I've ever seen on the field. I'd put him up against Darryl Green.
Vick's faster.
Who?
Vick's faster, trust me. But what Lamar Jackson does is he's a bigger guy. You know, Vick wasn't the biggest guy in the world, but I'll tell you what. When he ran through that one at Minnesota where both of them had the angle and he just outran it and they both ran into each other like a cartoon.
Right.
Again, Michael Vick was the I was field level for a lot of this. There's none that's been ever faster to play the game. I don't think there was a faster player, I mean, in the whole league than Michael Vick. But I'll tell you what, Lamar Jackson, you know, when he comes running, you know, he's a load. And again, if you go back to college, Louisville won because of him. I mean, there's not too many people that put 33, 34 points up on Clemson. He managed to do it. So I just don't see anybody beating them. I mean, the nicest thing that could happen to New England is to lose to Kansas City because then they don't have to go in and play against Baltimore. And Baltimore's going to embarrass people. They're going to embarrass people.
Yeah, they're setting up. It's setting up to be quite a, because it's the haves and have-nots, really, in the NFL this year. There's good teams and there's bad teams. There's really not a whole lot in the middle, unless you look at the NFC East. But nobody's coming out of that division. If they could skip a playoff berth, it would be them.
You know what, Oz? Would you want to go to Philadelphia or Dallas and play a game in January?
Not this time of year. You're right. I mean, they're
the
same.
It's either going to be Seattle, San Francisco, Minnesota, or Green Bay. And again, I think Green Bay's locked up the North, so they're out of it. But it's either going to be Minnesota, and they're locked into the sixth spot, so they're good. So it's either going to be San Francisco or Seattle that's got to go back to Philly. And believe me, Seattle's going to look for beast mode to have a big game against San Francisco. I'm not a believer in the 49ers. I think it's the Wizard of Oz there. That no pun intended, but you know. They're doing a little bit with the smoke and mirrors.
I don't know
and
if
I think what's going to happen is that they're going to expose Garoppolo in the playoffs.
You say you don't want to go through Baltimore. I don't think anybody wants to go through.
No.
Nobody wants to go through New Orleans in the NFC, Leo. I think
Drew Brees and company, they dial it. They've lost at home once this year. I don't think it's going to happen. When Garoppolo went in there, there's no way they get by them twice. Drew Brees is playing on another level right now. They're loaded with Thomas and Kamara starting to come on strong. I mean, that's what a wet dream that'd be for the executives in New York for a young versus old Drew Brees versus Lamar Jackson. Are you kidding me? That's a great ball game right there.
That'd be first one to 50 wins.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you just made a great point that I forgot about,
Leo.
That's
not because you have bad defense. That's just that offense is that good.
Oh, how about this one? You pass by the Clemson Tigers real quick. Hey, you take a knee, you take a powder, a 1 year, and I guess another look at Winston, and then the big boy, the big Adonis with the golden hammer, as it were, is available next year, but you'd have to trade up to get him. God forbid we're picking first in 2021. Is that playing anybody's thoughts?
Oh, it's playing in New England's thoughts.
Oh, look, you better believe it.
They are loading up draft picks.
Could
they
you imagine?
Loading up draft picks for next year. And
oh
you know what?
God.
That's a shame, but people better start looking at what they're doing.
You're right.
New England's going to offer the farm to get up to get Lawrence.
Wow. I'd have to life a season-long ban for Fernandez. He would not be allowed within a block of the home. Couldn't happen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'd have to meet him at the bar.
All right, Leo Haggard. I'll ask you one last question. I'll let you go. I think, now call me crazy. Do you think another another lemon, right. Thank you. Do you think another, well, God forbid he throws four picks again. I don't know if that's possible. But another stinker on Sunday leaves such a horrific stench in the air that the Glazers say, enough. This is our decision, and we don't care really what you think, Coach. We're turning the page because, bottom line, Leo, that stadium's half empty, if not three quarters empty, and that's their bottom line, is winning and selling tickets. And the next year the Super Bowl is in Tampa. I don't think they want to be embarrassed to host with a four-win or five-win team. You know, it's a dicey situation. It's easy to say that. A very complicated question that I've been up nights thinking about.
You know what, Oz? He can have a game that there'd be a knee-jerk reaction in the front office to say, get rid of him. He could have that.
Right.
But he could also have that game that the knee-jerk reaction was, let's sign him now.
Well, good answer, because last Sunday, or Saturday as it were, still screwed up, boy, the four-game win streak sure went out the window fast, didn't it? That was gone. I mean, all goodwill was gone after the first pick, okay. The second one to the house, I don't ever remember seeing that in my life.
No, not at all. And again, Oz, what you're looking at right now is, if I'm Bruce Arians, if I'm Jason Light, can we cut his interceptions down? You know what the answer is? Yes. And you know what it is? You don't let them throw it 50 times.
Right.
If you throw it 50 times, they're going to pick it off too. I don't care who the quarterback is.
You're right.
Naming a quarterback that throws it 50 times and doesn't get intercepted. It's bad odds. They need to keep him right there. Like I said, 25. They need to run it 30, throw it 25.
Has he stayed under 25 once this season? I doubt he has.
I think once. I think he was 22 one time, and they won. But you're right, Oz. That's a good question. I may need to look that up for our next conversation.
All right. Well, hopefully our next conversation, we're talking about a Buck win. And, well, it's talk about it, a soap opera. You know, as the world turns, and General Hospital never had as many twists as we're going to have in the next month or two or three, and then you get into the draft. What is your gut feeling if they were to get rid of him? Would it be quicker than later, or are they going to drag it out, try to trade? I mean, what do they do?
Well, I think they're going to drag it out.
Are they?
I think they're going to try to sign him within the next month. Try to sign him.
Right.
And if they can't get a team-friendly deal, and again, I'm just scared to death if they franchise him, that he's not going to show. I mean, if I'm an agent, that's what I would do. I said, hey, guys, you can franchise him, but come training camp, he's not showing up. So all that does is extend out how long you can do something.
And he's got that. He's got everybody's favorite agent, doesn't he, Drew Rosenhaus?
I think he does.
Oh, God.
And no, I don't think he does. I don't think he does.
Who the hell are we talking about? Somebody on the Bucks
I think it's a guy by the name of Still. But I will check that for you, Oz. But no, he does not have Drew Rosenhaus.
All right. Well, that could only add to the problems. That guy, I mean, who the hell? I understand players want leverage and players want muscle. But that guy shows up at the table. You've got to hear a collective groan from everyone in the room, from the owner to the secretary. Oh, God, this asshole. Jesus.
Yeah, well, you know what? if you want, you're a quarterback and you want money, I think that's the guy you go with.
I guess so.
let's be honest. Oz, would you want to sit across the table from him?
No, I wouldn't.
He's not bluffing.
How about old Lee Steinberg? Boy, his star fell fast,
Lee,
didn't it?
Lee was the agent of the quarterback.
I know.
What a perfect thing.
Absolutely. Well, Leo, it's been a wild half hour. It flew by. We could do 2 more hours talking about this. It's going to get more interesting before it's solved. And I don't know what the solution is, buddy. I don't know what the answer is. I want the best. I want the quickest way to get this team back to respectability, because I'm sick of being laughed at, Leo. I'm sick of these commentators coming down here and seeing prop bets on how many interceptions our quarterback throws. I don't need to see that nonsense. Let's get back to this winning tradition that we had for a slight glimpse of Buccaneer history.
Well, you know what, Oz? If they go 8-8, I mean, I was saying 5-11 at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, 8-8, and real easily, you can turn that into 9 next year by making a field goal. But again, I think the team is on the right direction. It's going to be tough beating Atlanta simply because you don't have 25 in there, which is 13-12, you know, Godwin and Evans.
Right.
And you just gotta roll the dice and see what you can do. But I'll tell you what, let's be honest. This defense has stepped up. And Oz, real quick, I know we're getting close to the time limit, but everybody's talking about how, you know, Bowles and Leftwich are going to be head coaching candidates. No, no, no. What they'll do is they'll get interviews because of the Rooney Rule, which is great. It will prepare them for later on, but they're not going anywhere. No one's going to hire an offensive or a defensive coordinator for the Buccaneers when you've got a shot at going somewhere else. So,
you're right.
I'd
imagine Todd Bowles after running the Big Apple, he probably enjoys being second fiddle. He doesn't have to answer all the
absolutely.
Questions.
I mean, the biggest question is, come Black Monday, who would get? Because, again, is the grass greener on the other side? Who's that guy going to be? And, again, everybody talks about Lincoln Riley being the guy. And again, we're seeing what happened in Arizona. And, you know, Kirk Kingsbury's done a pretty good job out there with Kyler Murray and running that
exactly.
You know, air raid offense.
I think it's funny, though, Leo, that, you know, the same list of characters continually hire and fire coaches, and you got to put the Bucs right in the middle of that pack. I mean, every 3 years we're talking about a new coach, yet the teams that consistently win, you know, Bill Cowher, he had a 15-year run in Pittsburgh. They were great. They were a Super Bowl. They took a downturn. He got them back.
Coaches since the 60s, right, Oz?
Right. I mean, you stick with a winner. Just refuse to even acknowledge your team sucks and your coach is past his prime. And, I mean, how long did they let Marvin Lewis dangle out there for about the last decade? Thankfully, they broke him off. But I hope to God this time next year we're not talking about the coach getting fired and then who the hell do we get to coach. And I think Arians is the guy. I really do. But
yeah, I do. I do too, Oz. And I think Arians will be the one to pull the trigger.
And quit pissing him off asking about a sub. Quit pissing him off asking about a subpar running game. I heard your name pop up on Ira's podcast.
You know what? How about if I do that on the last one? I said, Coach, you know, we talked about a subpar running game at the beginning of the season. Where would you rate yours right now?
No, don't go stirring up.
Should I run for the border on that one, Oz?
You better have a 1 foot out the door on that one.
Absolutely.
He was a little morose after last game, which he's a hard – I'll tell you what, his promo picture when he hit town was at the Hard Rock, and I think the guy plays some poker because he's hard to read sometimes, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a poker face, no doubt about it.
All right, Leo Haggerty, enjoy the weekend and enjoy all the college games. And, hey, it doesn't end with Bucs football. You and I are going to stay in touch and hopefully be out and about meeting and greeting and watching some playoff football as
– yeah.
It's you know, it's frustrating. It's so frustrating as a Bucs fan. I'd like to be talking about, hey, you got any tickets for that home playoff game, man? I need to get in that stadium. And I'm just hoping next year we see it because it's a win now league. We've seen teams turn it around in 1 year, and I don't have to remind you where the Super Bowl is next year.
Yeah, and you know what, Oz? If they win Sunday, it's 5 wins in the last 6.
You're
I'll
right.
That going into next.
And I'll close with you on a positive note that I heard out of Jameis. I liked when he said, "When I protect the ball, there's nobody that can touch us." I've never heard him say that.
Yeah, and he's the key. He's the straw that stirs the drink. Let's be honest.
He is. All right, Leo. Thanks for your time as always, and I'll touch base with you soon. All right, Leo.